This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
So many shakeups yesterday in the NFL. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. The highlights here, DK Metcalf asking for a trade, Max Crosby get an extension, and Joey Bosa being shown the door. So a lot of movement, Pearl, with some teams who are in very varying different levels of win now and win in the future. Yeah. You know, the Chargers obviously on an upward trajectory with Jim Harbaugh, and Bosa was a cap casualty, and we can talk about whether he could be effective for a new team next year, maybe teaming up with his brother Nick in San Francisco. You know, Max Crosby now is a cornerstone and a pillar with the Raiders, but are they actually ready to win right now? Is this going to be more, I don't say wasted talent, but could they have done a better job if they had just traded him away for a haul and tried to use that draft capital to rebuild? And then the Seahawks obviously are in a bit of a rebuild, it seems. If DK Metcalf wants a trade, they say goodbye to Tyler Lockett. I wouldn't be surprised if Geno Smith is next.
Yeah, oh, definitely. One thing I have a little bit of a question about that you just said, why are the Chargers obviously on an upswing? What about them says obviously on an upswing?
Made the playoffs last year. Not many people thought they would.
They did 2 years before that. They were the same team as Brandon Staley. They lost Joey Bosa. Khalil Mack's getting, he's gone too. Yeah. He's a free agent. Derwin James is getting old. You know, they don't really have any skill position talent.
I'm assuming they're going to fix that. Like, I don't know if they're going to be in the running for DK Metcalf.
But it's funny you say that. They're obviously on an upswing. Man, their personnel is going south. Well, so it's interesting. And same with Denver. Denver's another team. They look like they're on an upswing too, but are they really on an upswing? So, and that's relevant to the Raiders. Are the Raiders really looking at the Chargers and the Broncos as win now teams? Maybe they think there's an opportunity to sneak up to number two in that division.
Yeah, I mean, I think those rosters are much better, though.
Denver Chargers?
And the Chargers, yeah, and I think Jim Harbaugh is clearly a difference maker as a head coach.
Why?
And here's the thing,
yeah.
They made the playoffs under Brandon Staley, the Chargers, and they blew a 20-plus point lead.
Yeah, I mean, they looked better in that game than they did with Harbaugh in the playoffs. That was terrible.
It was bad, but it was...
That was a disaster, that playoff game.
I know. I understand that they lost to the Houston Texans, and they were favored in that game and on the road, right? It was Texans, right?
Yeah. They Justin Herbert threw a million picks. It was terrible. So, anyway, I don't... That's why... Lady Bosa, it might be... The Chargers might be more of a rebuild mode than we think. So... You say Harbaugh, it puts them on an upswing. Basically, the Raiders have the same thing. They have Pete Carroll.
Let's see.
Yeah, I just think it's
I would take the team that has a quarterback over the team that we have no idea what the Raiders are doing at QB.
Right. I'm just saying, it is interesting times in the AFC West. I think Chargers fans are wondering, okay, what's the game plan here? Are we ever going to have a receiver here?
Well, see, here's the thing. Yeah. This is where I put more faith in the Chargers. First of all, it'd be year two under the Harbaugh program, where this is year one with Pete Carroll. You took a big swing with Matthew Stafford. You struck out. And I just don't understand where the Raiders are coming from that they're saying they're going to be this win-now team, right? And Pete Carroll keeps saying that. We want to win games. I think this is the mandate from Brady. I don't think that they want to come in and be doormats and, you know, just wait around or tank or any of that stuff. I think they feel like they've got pieces. I think I would probably disagree. I do not think this is a situation where you're going, all right, I'm looking at Denver and I'm looking at the Chargers and I feel like I've got a chance here. Let alone the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers are going to get hit hard in free agency. So I do think that Yeah, I think the win now, at least be in the mix, is an 8-9, 9-8 team. Listen, they've had a couple years lately. The Raiders have had no talent. Mike Mayock and John Gruden missed on so many draft picks, and they're still in, you know, they're still close to 500 a lot of seasons. Look at their year-by-year record. Last year I know was bad, but I think they can stay around 500. My question for you, and you've been asking this, like, what's the point? Why does Tom Brady want to be 9-8 or 8-9? Like, what's the long-term goal? Shouldn't they just empty out the roster theoretically and build from scratch? I personally think Max Crosby's a little more symbolic, but generally, I never understood the Stafford deal, and I wouldn't really understand a Geno Smith or Sam Darnold signing either.
We're asking you on X, are you encouraged by the Raiders' offseason approach so far? And 62% of you say no. And I think that's going to be fair until we figure out what they're doing at quarterback. And to be honest, I don't know if anything they do at quarterback is going to feel very satisfying. Yeah. Outside of, I guess, drafting Shador because he's kind of the unknown. But you're telling me you bring in Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, yeah, people are going to feel awesome about this. Rodgers, at least there's like an intrigue factor.
Rodgers, they'd feel awesome. I think that would be exciting.
Again, who's he throwing to?
Yeah.
Can he be protected behind the line?
But it's only probably a one-year deal. So I think if I was going to rank it, if I'm a Raiders fan, I'll tell you, I would want draft a quarterback one, sign Rodgers, no risk two. Last thing I would do is sign Sam Darnold. I would not do that. Say, because you'd have to do 3 years, $100 million. Would you? That's like the last thing I want to do is commit to somebody.
No, and I know this is not like scientific, but I don't think that Darnold is like a Brady guy. I can't imagine Tom Brady looking at Darnold and being like, yeah, I think this is the guy we want to invest in. I just don't see that.
Why? Darnold's in that Kirk Cousins coaches love him kind of vein.
He hasn't had nearly the type of success, though, as Cousins.
But I think the Shanahan tree really seems to be fascinated with Sam Darnold.
I think that a lot of guys could have had the success that Darnold had last year in Minnesota. I'm not trying to totally take away from what he did. They won 14 games. But we saw Kevin O'Connell was piecing it together with duct tape and fishing glue, you know, 2 years ago, where he had five different quarterbacks starting for him, right?
Yeah, and they didn't win anything.
No, they didn't, but they didn't bottom out either.
Yeah.
And I think Sam Darnold, the second half of the season last year, it wasn't just the last two games. I think you saw him start to crater a little bit.
Yeah, but I do think he's a Kyle Shanahan kind of guy.
As a backup, not as $100 million.
No, I think I would not $100 million, but I would not be shocked to see Kyle Shanahan play Sam Darnold. There are a lot of coaches like Jimmy G and Sam Darnold and Kirk Cousins. They kind of like these quarterbacks. I don't know why. I don't know. I'm not sure why you think that. Like, who is a Brady guy? Like, if Sam Darnold's not a Brady guy, what kind of quarterback does he want?
I mean, I think it looks to me like they're trying to go more of the veteran route here, and maybe that's Pete Carroll, and it's keeping Max Crosby. And I wonder if Brady would feel like, all right, I know, I've had a 20-year relationship with Aaron Rodgers. I know what kind of guy he is. Played Russell Wilson in a Super Bowl, understand what kind of guy he is. I think that Brady would gravitate more towards those guys than someone who has done absolutely nothing in Sam Darnold, and when it came to the biggest moments, cratered and faltered.
Right, but we're obviously beggars can't be choosers here. I mean,
I don't think they have to choose Darnold. I don't think it's that dire.
No, but I mean, if they go with Russell Wilson, it's going to be, is that going to work?
Well, Russell Wilson, it has to be with, I would think it'd be Russell Wilson and Shador. Like Russell Wilson and Jackson Dart. Russell Wilson and plus somebody else. So that you're like, all right, he would be a great mentor and he knows Pete Carroll well.
Oh boy, this could be a rough week for the Raiders. I think we'll come in Monday, we'll know who the starting quarterback is. I have that strong feeling it's going to be Daniel Jones.
Oh boy.
No, yikes. I'm kidding.
855-212-4227. Let's get to the Cowboys. Getting bad here with Jerry. I don't know what it's like behind the scenes, but in front of the scenes, this is really devolving into something that's like almost not coherent.
Why?
You know, it used to be folksy, and it used to be like all the circumcised and the mosquito stuff, and he's talking in this code. Now you like really can't tell.
Kind of circumcising the mosquito.
Okay, so let's talk about Jerry Jones. First of all, his son, Steven, at the Combine said they'd be selectively aggressive. And I actually love that language. That's how you should think about free agency. Jerry says, not so fast.
I don't think aggressive is the right word. Okay. I think when we see a part that a player that can take us in a direction that can improve where we're going to be pretty significantly from where we're going to be if that opportunity wasn't there.
Be selectively aggressive.
More from Jerry. As far as like filling any big voids on the Cowboys roster, he doesn't see any.
I wouldn't call us really void in any area, void if you include what we're going to do in the draft. I wouldn't see that. So as your question is addressing free agency, I'm not looking at free agency as a place to fill voids.
Well, reasonable people can disagree. That's your Cowboy Quick.
What? I guess you could argue they have players at every position. There's just some pizzazz missing at certain spots.
I would argue they have massive voids at linebacker. I think that's number one. And you don't know what's going to happen in the draft. You don't know, and I don't know.
But linebackers, that's a second-level priority for all teams.
I don't know. Your Eagles just re-signed one for a lot of money in Zach Bond.
Right, who they got for nothing.
But they just made a huge investment in him
yesterday.
Yeah,
but generally, though, that's not... When you look at a lineup, you're looking at... You got to have cornerbacks. You got to have pass rushers. You have to have wide receivers. You have to have O-line.
Okay, well, they don't have enough wide receivers either. It's not void. You got CeeDee Lamb. But, to think that you don't have holes that could be fixed by free agency when, again, you could say you'll use the draft. Great. The Cowboys have been a decent drafting team. But you don't know what's going to be there and how the board's going to lay it.
Well, right. Last year, the only move they made was linebacker, right? Eric Kendricks.
Yeah, and was that really a move?
Yeah, I mean, he's productive. That's what you do with linebacker. You're not going to spend a ton of money on an off-ball linebacker. I know Zach Bond had a great year, but that was ridiculous. I'm a little worried about Deron Bland may not be back. You might have to spend there. I think number two receiver, you just nailed it. It's been a persistent problem. Who would not double-team CeeDee Lamb? When push comes to shove, everyone knows that's where Dak wants to go. And they have to figure out this running back thing. I thought Rico Dowdle was pretty good last year. I worry that they're going to run it back. I still think they need to be a run-first team, right? They've invested all these draft picks in the offensive line. They got to go back to 2016 or whatever year that was when Zeke was a rookie and they just ran down everyone's throat.
I'm not encouraged here, which is funny because you should be encouraged when a team who is not far removed from a 12-win season, Perloff, decides to open up, you know, the amount of cap space now that the Cowboys have. And, you know, they seem to be doing the right things, which is if you love Osa Adigizawa.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Close enough. You know who I'm talking about. You love this guy. You drafted him. You think he's an underrated player. I'm totally fine with you re-signing him because you got it done early and you restructured CD. By all accounts, and I'm reading this in The Athletic, they have $57 million in cap space for 2025. In a vacuum, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But then you get Jerry who comes out and says, basically, we're not going to use it unless what? Like, Lawrence Taylor drops from the sky. I don't know who they think is going to be worth this money. And they're out here telling you, you know, unless we see a huge difference maker, we're not going to bite. And is that DK Metcalf? Is it Myles Garrett? I don't know what their definition of difference maker is.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, they've been a draft and develop team. It's really the free agency is, you have to remember, guys only get the free agency because they're flawed. You never want to build through older free agents. That's a terrible way to build a team. Do you agree with that?
I don't think it's the only reason you get to free agency. I think that there are teams who are really bad at managing their cap, and I think there's teams that make mistakes and it forces them to have to get to free agency. I don't think it's all because you're flawed.
But I think 70% of the quote-unquote big free agent signings do not work out because the guys are older. Most often, if you look at, go to any year and pull up top 10 free agents, I think a majority of the deals do not work out well because the teams scout their own players really well. And if they don't want to pay them, most often they know something the other teams don't. And older players often are disappointing on their contract. It's the way it works in the NFL. So, I don't want to build through free agency. I mean, no great team does. You don't want to go into free agent market and say, like, we have five holes to fill. We're going to have to overpay this guy. Because if he got to free agency, that means he's expensive.
Okay, you just said, though, that the Cowboys missed last year about Derrick Henry.
That was one spot. Okay. No, but Jerry's right, though.
You don't want to come to build the whole team, but take a swing is not a bad thing.
That one in particular. But I wonder, you know, can we all say the one name that $50 million would go well for? Who's the pass rusher who's on the trade mark?
Oh, Myles Garrett.
Wow. Yeah, if it's for Myles Garrett, that's a swing. How about a guy who can fill two different holes?
Yeah.
Or what if it's a swing to move up in the draft? I don't know. They definitely need some star power. They need something here. You're right. But that doesn't mean I want to pay up for who are some of the highest paid free agents coming up. I saw a list recently.
I mean, the free agent list isn't great. Milton Williams, Ronnie Stanley, Sam Darnold, Josh Sweat, Chris Godwin, Carlton Davis, Tre'Davious Ward, DJ Reed, Devontae Adams.
Okay. Someone's going to pay $25 million for Josh Sweat, and it's not going to work out great.
Well, I'm just thinking, I'm also looping in maybe a DK Metcalf or Myles Garrett. Those guys are not free agents technically, right, but it would be a trade that kind of feels like it. 855-212-4227. I just also can't get past the symbolism yesterday of where Jerry was speaking to the media. It was at the Star, at Zach Martin's retirement press conference, which is famously a draft pick where Jerry had to be almost locked in a closet to keep from drafting Johnny Manziel, the shiny object, right? And Jerry wanted to draft Manziel, and he was talked out of it by Stephen Jones and others because Zach Martin was the better player. And I know that the Cowboys never won a Super Bowl with Zach Martin, but obviously the guy's going to be a Hall of Famer someday. And Johnny Manziel was a massive train wreck that probably would have been an even bigger disaster in Dallas. So why can't we take a look at that and say, that was over a decade ago when the people around you made a great decision. That's when Jerry should have taken the step back. Mm. And now here we are 11 years later and Zach Martin's retiring. And I think Cowboy fans have to be asking themselves if Jerry had just recognized then that maybe he shouldn't be making decisions, could we have actually won a Super Bowl by now?
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Whoever drafted Zach Martin got to make all the other draft picks because they kept going back to that well. They drafted another guard in the first round, another tackle.
But Jerry meddles in other ways. It's not just the draft. That's one part of a team building, but it's not. I think Jerry has gotten raked on negotiations over and over again. He's always paying at the top of the market. Ask yourself why. Maybe it's because you draft really well, or it's because you drag your feet on paying guys and you end up overpaying.
Well, yeah, but CD would have gotten top of the market anyway, right?
Listen, but it's all timing, right? Isn't it all relative? Because you know Michael Parsons is going to get paid, and I know he's going to get paid. When do you think that's going to happen?
But there's no way that he's not going to be one of the top two or three defensive ends in salary, no matter what time. It doesn't matter if it's April or August. The guy's probably going to be the number one paid defensive pass rusher.
That's fine, but the timing is everything.
I don't think in his case it is.
Well, I would say you could have actually gotten Micah Parsons on last year. He was eligible, but that's fine if you don't want to. Dak Prescott could have been on earlier, and it's not $60 million if you're doing that a year ago, 2 years ago.
Yep.
And I think CD could have been less. And
I don't think CD could have been much less.
Well, and they waited, though, and they said they had no money for free agents last year,
right,
because they didn't know their balance sheet because they had not yet factored in these long-term.
Yeah, payments. Which is maybe why they've tried to free up all this cap space early so they can feel a little more comfortable with Micah. Yeah, it doesn't look great. And also, I've mentioned this many times, their schedule is brutal next year. They're not getting over Sean and Bland back. It's going to be hard to see them as a real Super Bowl contender next year. And I don't think there's no moves they can make this week, except for maybe Myles Garrett.
855-212-4227. All right, so the Cowboys freed up all this cap space. Are they actually going to use it? Jerry says basically no. Stephen Jones at least left the door open a little bit more. We have lots to do, including Manny and Perloff together hanging out after the show yesterday. Went to the Ranger game together and got to sit front row. Got some details.
I'm watching the game back right now. I see myself.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, big time.
Were you behind the, what bench were you guys behind?
Behind the goalie.
Behind the goalie,
on the right side of the ice. If you're looking down on you know, the TV broadcast on the right side of the ice.
Pretty awesome. The big detail, though, that was revealed last night about the outing. Get to that next. Maggie and Perloff Show.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. All right, Maggie, you've been teasing it all show long.
Yeah, a little birdie.
A little jealousy, I think, in the room about Manny and I hanging out outside the building.
Yep.
Going into Midtown Manhattan, going to see the Rangers play the Capitals. Incredible game. Exciting. We got to see it all-time great. Alex Ovechkin, we were on the glass. There was a particular highlight that I will save that was amazing. A great time. Perfect night.
Sounds like you guys got an awesome game. Overtime, unfortunately for Manny, who's actually the Ranger fan, they lost in overtime. But you did get to see Ovechkin score a goal in his pursuit of Wayne Gretzky, and all that is awesome. Except, a little birdie told me, somebody left early.
Manny, you left early?
It wasn't Manny. Manny's not giving up the courtside, ice rink side seats. Somebody told me that Perloff, not only did you leave before overtime, I heard you left before the third period began.
Prove it.
Manny, did he leave before the third period began?
I suddenly don't speak English.
Come on.
All right, Sammy Sosa.
Accepting that sentence.
Manny was 11 beers in. He has no memory of whether I was there for the first, second, or third period.
Manny Pucks.
Manny Puck's enjoying his double jack with ginger ale. Thank you very much.
You left early?
Yeah, I left early. I have a
super
4 o'clock wake up call.
Wah, wah.
No, not super early. I did catch part of the third period.
From your phone on the train?
No. But I got home for overtime.
To watch overtime?
Yeah, it was awesome, by the way.
This is a big deal. Like, I wonder if people feel a certain type of way about this. When you are gifted tickets, thank you, Dr. Rock Positano,
yes.
And they're front row, people would kill for this kind of experience. Can you leave before the third period starts?
Oh, am I sensing a little jealousy over to my right here? Is that why you're trying to kill this? You just very specifically said, when you get free tickets and you don't say you should not get free tickets in the future, is that because you're not allowed in the garden and you're not on this gravy train and you're trying to kibosh my whole thing?
You know, I was wondering if Rock, does he have Nets tickets that maybe I could get? No,
would you want to do that?
Persona non grata at the garden. No, it's no jealousy. This has come up before because...
That was very specific, the scenario you just painted out there.
Well, you literally did this last night. That's why it was specific.
Hmm. Yeah,
front
I know,
row,
but...
Here's the thing. You're sitting in the nosebleeds. I think it's a little bit different. I think there's something about courtside, ringside. That's a unique experience. You know, I've actually never had that experience. I've never sat front row at a basketball game, and I've never sat right up against the glass for a hockey game. I have no idea what that's like. But this is like those bucket list items for sports fans that you'd love to have. So if you are lucky enough to experience that, can you leave early?
I'm going to say not guilty. Not guilty, Perloff.
It's okay to leave early.
Because he loves all sports, but he's not a hockey aficionado. It's not his number one sport. So I feel like that is he got the experience. Like, you got to be ice side, you got to see all the cool stuff, got to go back to the Delta. Like, all that stuff you did all of it.
Right.
Whether the Rangers won or lost was not something that mattered to him.
You do have a good game, though. It's a game that would end up going to overtime. You are watching an all-time great Ovechkin. There are others out there. Like, other circumstances that make this a special night.
Yeah, but it's early. Like you said, it's early. I'm someone who values sleep. It's an early wake-up call.
Someone who values sleep? You were complaining about watching Daredevil too late two nights ago.
Yeah, but I did that from my home. I didn't have to travel from Penn Station to get back home to
but
do that.
What time did you go to bed?
Daredevil night? I went to bed at 12:10.
Oh, my God. 12:15.
So you could have gone to the Ranger game, by the way, gone home and gone to sleep before that.
Yeah.
In theory.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. When did overtime end?
Manny?
Pretty late.
10:15-ish, maybe?
Yeah, I would have got home probably around 11:30-ish.
I relate to EJ because I'm not turning on episode 1 of Daredevil because I know I will be up till 1 a.m. as well. I'm a big Daredevil fan. And I got home, and I have this thing when I get home. Don't you guys have to watch a half hour of TV before you go to bed?
Yes. A little unwind, yeah.
Yeah, so I got caught watching TV after I got home, too, so I didn't get to bed till really late.
Wow.
So you could have stayed?
I could have stayed. No, no, no. I couldn't because I would have had to watch that TV when I got home.
So you were factoring in a half an hour of TV wind down time in the whole evening of going to sit ringside of the Garden.
Yes.
Wow.
I watched the. I happened to watch a big chunk of an NBA game, the Grizzlies Thunder, and then I turned on. I have a new show on Netflix. I watched that too. I mean, Kate Hudson and Running Point, hysterical.
Kate Hudson, you're ringside at the Garden for goodness sakes. Ovechkin's chasing history. You're going home to watch a Netflix show created by Mindy Kaling.
I watched 51 minutes of the game. Or no, actually 40, about 47 minutes.
I mean, I would skip a Mindy Kaling show too. Have you seen her material recently? Yikes.
What's wrong with her material? Whoa, what's the shot at Mindy Kaling?
Oh, okay.
A long way from The Office.
Yeah, it's been a long time since, that show where she was Kapoor. Dating the doctor or whatever it was.
Hold on, wait, Manny. So Perloff leaves. Did Perloff's friends stay?
Oh, they stayed. Okay. They stayed through overtime. Yeah.
So it's Manny and what were your friend Jeff and...
Joe, John.
John and Lee.
John and Lee, pardon me. So Manny, John, and Lee. Perloff gets up. Manny, the conversation between you, John, and Lee, was it about Perloff?
Oh, yeah, big time. A lot of talking about Perloff behind his back to none of his knowledge, obviously.
Now I know that is not true. Because
What'd you learn?
You couldn't learn anything because you cannot speak to the other person because you're in danger of getting destroyed by a large man running into the glass. Every time Manny and I turned to talk to each other, either a puck flew at us like a sonic boom 2 feet. Honestly, there wasn't a lot of talking. Would you agree with that, Manny? We did try and talk a couple
times.
It's very loud, and there's a lot of action right in front of you.
So you learned nothing about Perloff once he left. You got to talk to two of his friends. It's a total different Perloff. You see work Perloff. You could have gotten personal Perloff, and you got nothing? Get any nuggets?
I got some personal. I got some double P, some personal Perloff. But I mean, it wasn't. You know,
something you want to share with the class.
What kind of thing would you expect to find out about me? Like,
nothing too crazy.
Has he always been like this?
I gotta be honest. Yeah, Manny is so chill in a social setting. It immediately feels like
gay.
Yeah, he's just you don't have to catch up, Manny. He just fits right in. Again, he's fine. He's one of the gang.
Jack with ginger ale. Yeah. I'll fit right in.
He was just one of the guys. One of the guys almost immediately. I didn't even distinguish that you weren't part of the. You know, that you were an outsider in a sense.
You know me. I'm a people person. What
I
can
believe
I say?
That. I think you can take Manny anywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
My friends are Manny's very comfortable in a social setting. He's a lot of fun. He's great at a hockey game. He really knows his puck, believe it or not.
I believe that.
Oh, yeah. Icing, heard of it.
Big Ranger fan. So we had a similar...
Big two-line pass guy.
The reason why I'm asking about this is a little bit selfish on my part, which is we had a similar situation happen at the Super Bowl. That we never really talked through, which you guys know, I got really sick at the end of the week. I got the flu. We were out to dinner with one of my best friends from college, and I just had to dip out on dinner. So I left Perloff and EJ with one of my best friends from college to finish dinner and go to the Chris Stapleton show, and I never, like, did Steph say anything? Did she give you guys any...
You'll never know.
Anything from the vault? I told her before we left, break, I was like, don't.
Spring break junior year. We know.
Yeah, did she know about the bathtub stories?
It was her tub.
Nice.
Weekend in Virginia Beach, Maggie. Shame.
I do have a spring break story that I will not tell.
Yeah.
That she was definitely there for.
I'm sure.
Oh, we know.
Do you know about it? Now you know about it. Well, I'll have to live with that.
Don't take this personally, but I don't think we asked one question about you. It didn't even dawn on us.
You know, it's funny, though. I think the difference is when you're eating delicious New Orleans food.
Yeah.
Like, just like we were worried about you, but then we were like, all right, well, let's just dig in here.
The entrees are here.
Honestly.
Maggie who?
Yeah, we were so, and then we went to this concert, and everyone was having a great time.
By the way, we also were with some, like, famous folk singer. Like, was a thing.
Blues musician.
Oh, blues musician, I'm sorry, yes.
We're sitting there.
Samantha Fish.
We're sitting there at dinner. Do you know this story, Bogus?
I know about the singer part, yes.
So I asked this woman, what do you do? She's like, oh, I'm a musician, you know, I tour a little bit. She's the most famous woman's blues musician in the country, basically. She opened for the Rolling Stones.
Yep.
You ever heard of them?
What's her name?
Samantha Fish.
By the way, she looked like she had that cool look, like a musician.
Oh, she looked like a rock star.
Yeah, but she had this awesome look. She was very, very sweet. I looked her up right after we left because my friend Steph kind of downplayed her accomplishments. And she's won all these awards.
Yeah,
like, she's all over the place.
Big deal. We're going to ask her about. So tell me about Maggie as a sophomore in college.
Good thing Maggie left. Get her out of the way. Let's go.
Yeah, like I'm gatekeeping. No, she was very, very cool. We didn't know how famous she was until Dave Marinick, one of our bosses here.
He almost fainted when we told him who we were hanging out with.
He was there. He could have met her.
Meanwhile, we're sitting at a dinner table with a famous musician, this really cool record executive, and EJ and I are arguing about the Grizzlies backcourt for about a half hour or something so stupid.
But again, they downplayed their work. Because like Samantha's, oh, what do you do? Yeah, you know, my inspiration is growing up in Kansas City, and that's kind of why I'm rooting for the Chiefs. And I was like, oh, okay, a little small town. Kansas City musician. Cool. Yeah,
I actually did even worse.
All right, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, what are we doing here? MVP or not?
Shut up, BJ. And I asked her what she did. She said, you know, I'm a musician. I'm like, oh, that must be tough. I did one of those.
Are you hungry?
What's your day job?
Just barely scraping by. Yeah. Are you really waiting tables? Like, no, she's actually winning awards.
I love there were just these little Easter egg clues that made you think, huh? Because she was like, oh, you went on. She was like, oh, yeah, I did a little tour. I was like, oh, okay, a little tour. Cool. Like, where'd you go? She was like, yeah, I was in Budapest.
Yeah,
she's like, she mentioned she played The Garden. You ever hear of that?
I was like, wait a minute, what? You were in India?
Botanical
Gardens? Like a place that a small R's is
Botanical
going.
Botanical Gardens? Which garden do you speak of?
Yeah, that was funny.
I just give a little context. There's one. I looked at her new festival. She's headlining something with John Spencer's Blues Explosion. You'd probably know that band, right? They're pretty famous from the 90s and 2000s. She's the headline over them, and they are a major touring band. She's a big deal. I thought I needed to buy her dinner because she was some struggling musician.
Here's my coat. Stay warm tonight. While you're
that being said.
Don't worry about Venmoing me. I got you.
Keep the arts alive.
This is New Orleans, by the way. You could throw a bead 10 yards away and hit a touring musician. It wasn't hard to find a famous musician.
Well, I think I told my friend Steph, so you're right, she's a lawyer for a big music company. And I'm like, I think your bar is set so high because she does contracts for like Pearl Jam and Chris Stapleton and, you know, all the T-Pain and stuff like that. I'm like, you got to let us know when these other musicians who we definitely are famous to, you know, to us, give us the heads up.
Right. Then I went with her to a concert, and everybody who came up to me was somebody somewhat important. Some like normal, humble guy. I'm like, what do you do? He's like, you know, I'm kind of a roadie or something. I'm like, aw. And he's like, yeah, I just ran the tour for Rihanna. It's no big deal. I was just in Paris yesterday. Took the private jet back.
I know. You guys, my friends are in high places.
Your friend.
My one friend. Yeah. My other friends are a bunch of deadbeats. Bogish has headlines for us.
Damn, Max Crosby's extension. Joey.
Not you guys.
Joey
sure.
Bosa's release. DK Metcalf's trade request. None of that is the lead story in the NFL this morning. It's the fact that Pac-Man Jones now says he cheated every single NFL drug test he ever took.
I cheated the program. Like I was really good. People don't know how smart I am. But like, sorry. I could say it now. I don't play no more. But like, I've never used my for a piss test. Not one time. Not one time.
So the bleeps were for a word that's a synonym. Is that the right word for urine? He said, and this was on Deion Sanders' show on Tubi. We Got Time that he never used his own urine to make a deposit into a cup during his NFL career. Now, at the end of that clip, you could hear Deion beginning to say that players can't cheat like this anymore, but Pac-Man disagrees.
It can happen if you know what you're doing. No, don't say it can't happen, Pop.
How do you do it? How do you
hey,
do
Pop,
it?
Don't say it can't happen.
The reason it can't, because they go in there with you right now.
And you still can get them.
No, they go in there and watch you put out
You still can get them.
Deion was legit afraid that Pac-Man was going to take his pants off and show like how you could do this.
The Wizinator?
Yeah.
No.
He like would not accept the fact that you could still beat the test. But Pac-Man says he beat every test because it was never actually his unclean urine in the cup.
Do you believe that?
I just love that Pac-Man Jones thinks this is the sign of high intelligence, like being able to evade the drug testers, where the real sign of intelligence would probably be not doing the drugs.
Disagree. I think I've heard players, you know, one of the big challenges to do this is you have to keep the other person's urine warm because that's the first red flag if it's not warm.
Right.
Mm. So I've heard a lot of players have different strategies. They keep it in their underwear for all of practice and then to keep it at the right temperature. Like, there's all sorts of science that goes into this. I'm fascinated. I agree.
Science?
I bet you Pac-Man is right. I bet you a lot of players have different hacks to do this. Now, when the guy is watching, that's tricky.
Stay off the weed.
Yeah, see, I think that's the bigger takeaway. Just don't do the drugs during the season. You're not getting drug tested out of season.
Yeah, I think the NFL in particular, if you test positive for weed, you're doing something wrong. I think they only test in a very small window, and you know it's coming. So you just need to be good for like 3 weeks, and then the other 49, you can be as high as a kite as much as you want.
That's why I don't buy this.
Well, hold on. Are we sure it was weed or was he doing steroids?
No, this is
that
about,
would be a different thing.
No, this is about weed.
He wouldn't.
Yeah.
He wouldn't admit that.
I think the testing was more substantial when he played, and he also was in the program, so he got tested a lot. And he still says he cheated every single time and never got caught.
There was that show Playmakers with ESPN did where they said they did the drug test and the guy is just sitting right there while you undress.
Yeah.
And you just, I mean, I don't know how Pac-Man is doing this then if that's the case. By the way,
what an all-time bad job.
Oh.
Like, that's the short end of the stick. If you're like, what do you do for a living? It's like, well, I watch guys urinate. I just can't imagine that's fun for anybody.
I'm just going to...
I pay a lot to make you
could,
do that.
I bet it doesn't pay a lot.
Tape a squeeze bottle underneath your stuff and fake it.
A squeeze bottle?
That's how a lot of... Yeah, or you have it, you know, like a form of the Wizinator. Yeah, that definitely happens.
I'd eat the yellow snow. Yeah. What did I say? I'd eat
basically,
the yellow snow.
I don't know. If you take your clothes off, like, you might have something hidden somewhere.
You want to put tape on your in your sensitive areas?
To avoid a drug test? I think, again, Pac-Man is smarter than you think.
He's not.
This is a sign of high intelligence.
It might not be smart, but if he's got the genetics to hide a squeeze bottle in there, congrats.
I think create a little bit. I think there are a lot of things going on here.
Squeeze bottle?
Well, like, say hypothetically, you drink a wet. Like a little bottle, like a 5-hour energy bottle, and you poke a little hole in the top of it, and then you undo the tape, and you have it taped under your junk.
You still think that's easier than just not smoking? You're basically like MacGyvering something on your junk.
That's
Just have a dry march and you're fine.
Look at Joe Gibbs' package in these shorts right there. Anybody could just put the weed down. Actually, they can't. That's part of the problem. But no, I have a lot more respect for the guy who's going to engineer this bad boy. I like it. MacGyver. Think MacGyver ever failed a drug test?
It's like, where'd all the duct tape go? It's like, MacGyver must have
taken PEDs in high school.
NFL's got these. They got some of the dumbest people working there. If they can't catch these guys doing this,
like, I'm sorry, is that a grape jelly squeeze bottle attached to your?
Is that a 5-hour energy drink? What's going on here, sir?
The eyedropper, maybe. But then it's like, all right, you just went through a whole practice. You've been drinking Gatorade for 6 hours, and you gave us 2 drops of pee.
Dehydrated. They
probably sent you to the hospital.
It happens.
Oh, gosh. Well, good for Pac-Man because they avoided the drug test. He avoided every other issue. Guy was in trouble
every
5 seconds.
By the way, have you ever had to do a drug test for work?
Yes.
I have.
Yeah, me too. And I don't do drugs, but I was still nervous. I'm like, I don't know if I accidentally, what if I walk by a guy on the street in secondhand smoke?
I don't think it gets in your system like that.
Ooh.
I worked at Sports Authority during college, and they cut a piece of my hair for the drug test.
Nah.
At Sports Authority?
The
sporting goods store?
Yeah.
To see if you were doing drugs or not doing drugs. Like, which was required?
Were you like driving a forklift or something?
No, but that, like, and they said, if you've done anything in the last 6 months or 3 months, whatever the time frame was, we're going to know from this. And I had definitely smoked in that time frame, and then they still hired me.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely don't go 6 months between Dave Matthews concerts, so...
Easy, Maggie.
Just saying, your opportunities.
If you don't need to go, there's no drug test that lasts 6 months.
Yeah. Whatever the time frame
was,
the
hair is pretty specific.
In 2000, this was like the cutting edge technology, and they said if you'd done anything bad in the last whatever it was, 3 months, 2 months.
Did they pluck it out, or they actually took scissors and cut your hair?
No, they took Like it was like a whole package. Like they opened it up and the scissors were in there, yeah. and then they cut it and put it right in an envelope and sealed it right back up. Like it was, yeah. and I was at like a to central office for like orientation and the test. Like it was very formal.
Be like, screw this, I'm going to LIDS.
I had a friend who took a drug test and they said he tested positive for something he didn't, and then they had to like call him back and apologize.
Oh,
wow.
Like, it was like, I was like Target or something, and they were like, hey, we, you know, you tested positive for like marijuana and everything. He's like, I've never smoked marijuana
this
in my life.
Over some weed. Like, we're doing all of this over some marijuana.
Yeah, this was 2009.
That's ridiculous. It's a different time, man. You wouldn't have remembered.
They were nervous when Bogus says, does heroin count?
855-212-4227. A lot there. Perloff left before the third period of a hockey game last night. Was he in the right or in the wrong, M&P?
No, we're not doing this.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Perloff Show. A lot of things percolating today. A lot of NFL news. Players getting cut. Players getting extensions. Players asking for trades. I also had a big night personally around here with the show because Perloff and Manny went to the Ranger game last night and got to see an all-timer. Well, Manny got to see the all-timer because he stayed till the end of overtime. Perloff decided to dip out. But you did catch overtime on TV at your house.
Yeah, I'm not giving more oxygen to this conversation because, Manny, we're going back, right?
Oh, please, bro.
Yeah, by the way, totally sold on live hockey. It's amazing.
It is the best. Jeff's in Tucson.
And Margie can't come.
I can't come. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, good morning, Maggie. Hey, Bogus, you got me cracking up, dude. I love your style, dude, all right?
We'll pass it on.
He says thank you.
All right, thank you. one question, and you can answer this after I give you a little story, but Myles Garrett, where would you think he would go? And secondly, so my wife invites me out to dinner with one of her friends. So I said, okay. I said, who's her friend? She goes, oh, one of the girls I swim with for exercising. I'm like, okay, so we're old. I'm 71. She's 70. So I'm thinking, this ain't going to go too good. So I said, okay. So I come along, and I sit down. I'm in the conversation at the beginning. I order an iced tea, and the lady across from me says, hey, Cheryl, that's her name. Cheryl says, well, my brother's probably going to show up. Is that okay? And I'm like, oh, this ain't going to go good. So I said, well, yeah, that's fine. I don't care. So I'm talking to my wife. I said, look, I really don't want to be here. So she says, well, just stay a couple minutes. So I stay a couple more minutes. So I get up, excuse myself, say I'm not doing so well. And I'm starting to walk out the door. And in the door, the guy that opens the door for me is Tito Francona. So I look at him. I know who he is because I'm a Guardians. You know, I'm a big Ohio
fan. Yeah, you're Cleveland through and through, yeah.
Yeah, and I look at him. I said, Mr. Francona, how you doing? He goes, I'm doing great. I go, coming to get some food? He goes, yeah, my sister's here, invited me. And I'm like, wow. I go outside. Now I'm trapped.
Yeah.
I'm like, how do I clean this? I'm not feeling well up. Just so I can go back and sit down with Tito Francona.
Yeah, talk about the run to the World Series and everything. Oh, man, Jeff, so did you go back in or did you go home?
So I went and sat in the car for a minute, and I said, well, I lost my chance. So my wife gets home. So during the conversation with her sister and Tito, she explains how big of an Indians fan, you know, from a little boy I've been, you know, Herb Score days, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So she comes home with a phone number. So if we ever come to Goodyear, which that's where they work out during their spring training, so all I got to do is call this phone number and we'll get tickets.
Oh,
so I missed all that.
Oh, man.
So my last thing before I let you go is, Maggie, I know you think I'm a truck driver, but I'm a medical driver for people going to clinics in the morning.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Thanks for clearing that up, Jeff. That's a funny story. Jeff's commitment to the lie there is almost kind of impressive. Like he said, I got to leave because he didn't feel like socializing with his wife's friends. Blew the chance to have a meal with Terry Francona.
I relate to that. I think I've been in that position where I sicked out of something, then I found out something awesome was going to happen and tried to get back in. It's a hard thing to do.
Like I'm suddenly feeling awesome. Like I'm cured.
Yeah, I would have just embarrassed myself and went back in to talk to Tito. Can you imagine the stories that guy has sitting by a pool?
Oh my gosh, he was Michael Jordan's manager with the Birmingham Barons. I mean, and that's just one of the things, let alone the Red Sox and the Guardians. And
sure, he's a good storyteller. I think Jeff should have just, you know, sucked it up. Admit it. You know what? I'm feeling better.
I didn't want to drink iced tea with you old broads, but now that Terry Francona is here, suddenly this lunch looks a lot more interesting. Tough one.
I wonder where Jeff was going with that. I'm like, okay, this is an interesting story.
He kind of had me.
Yeah, but the until Francona entered it, it was a little bit mundane.
Just took a minute to unravel something like that. No, Jeff's the best. Okay, coming up, the Raiders. What's the plan here, guys? Get to that next.